beginning current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Tzadi Zayin. We begin on the top line of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, where there was a machlekes between Rabbi Kiva and Ben Maseira about the identity of the Mekoshe Shaitzim. Who was the one that gathered the wood that was died from Chil Shabbos in the Midbar because of the death of being Mechal Shabbos, that Hashem said that that's how he should die. So Rabbi Kiva said that it was Tzlafchad. And Ben Maseira said that either way, it's wrong that you're identifying either that possibly you're wrong, and even if you're right, the Torah concealed it and you're revealing it. So the Gemara continues that discussion and says, Ella, but then according to Rabbi Yehuda, Meheicha Havu, from where was it that Tzlafchad died? As the Pasuk says, Ki Bechetoy Meis, the daughters of Tzlafchad said that we want inheritance in Eretz Yisrael because our father died. So why was it that he died? What was it specially that sounds like that he died in a sin? If you're saying that he wasn't the Mekoshish, so why did he die? So on that, the Gemara answers, Mivayafilu Havu, that he was from those that had acted defiantly. As the Pasuk in Bamidbar says, Vayapilu Lalas al Reshahar, that they were defiant and they ascended the top of the mountain. However, the ark and Moshe Rabbeinu, they did not remove themselves from amongst the midst of the machna. What happened was is that Hashem said, no more, we're not going to Eretz Yisrael after the miraglim. Everyone's staying here 40 years. And they said, no, Hashem, we want to go now, we believe. And he was from those that had gone there, and they died from the goyim that had killed them. So the idea is that Ben Maseira is saying that he wasn't such a rush, he didn't die because of Chil Shabbos, like Rabbi Kiva had said, and therefore that's the machlokes, as he says they died from Vayapilu, from being defiant, and Tzlafchad was one of those, and Rabbi Kiva says that he was the Mekoshe Eitzim. So the Gemara says a similar machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Ben Maseira, that Kiyotze B'davah Ato'im, you find the similar machlokes they had with the similar type of retort that Ben Maseira said, that either way, Rabbi Kiva, you're going to come to judgment for the halacha that you're saying. It says in the Pasuk, V'yichr af Hashem bom v'yelach, that Hashem got very angry at Aaron and Midbar because what their Lashon Hara they had spoken about Moshe Rabbeinu, and he left them. Melamed, so it comes to teach, af Aaron et tareya, that even Aaron got tzaras, he got the leprosy. Did Rebbe Kiva, that's the opinion of Rebbe Kiva, and that's what you learn from bom, that he got angry at both of them. It sounds like just like by Miriam that she got tzaras, so to Aaron. Omer Rebbe Yehuda ben Maseiras, Rebbe Maseiras said to Rebbe Kiva, Akiva, benkach u'benkach at oslit nesedin. Either way, you're going to have to come to judgment for the statement you just said. If you're right in your interpretation, that Aaron also got tzaras. So the Torah concealed it, did not tell us. It only told Miriam got it. And you're revealing it. How can you do something the Torah, you see, on purpose, concealed it? V'imlav. And if you're wrong in your interpretation, then you're spreading slanderous reports about this tzaddik, about the righteous Aaron, that he got this punishment of tzaraz when he really didn't get it. So either way, this is something that seems that you're going to come to judgment for. But then the Gemara asks, Ve'eloha k'siv bam, but it does say, as Rabbi Kiva seems to interpret, that Hashem got angry at both of them. So therefore it would seem that Aaron also got tzaraz. And that the Gemara says, Ahu bin Nazifa ba'alma. That is just that he got angry at them. But the actual tzaras, which was a further retribution, that was only by Miriam and not by Aaron. And as the Gemara says, Tanya kamanda oma af Aaron and tzareya, that we have a braisa that seems to say, like Rabbi Kiva and not like Rabbi Maseira, that even Aaron got tzaras. Like it says in the Pasig, V'yifan Aaron el Miriam v'hinim mitzras. It says after that Hashem left them, it says that Aaron turned toward Miriam. Behold, she was mitzras, she was full of leprosy. So Tana, the drush is, what does this mean that Aaron turned? Shepona mitzaras, so that at first he turned from his own tzaras, that is, he first got healed, and only later, 7 days later, did Miriam get healed. But the idea is that you see that he also originally had the tzaras, it's just that he was healed quick. So related to this, speaking about the concept of tzaras, Amr Shlokish, Hachayshid Bikshem, someone that suspects the innocent, Loike Begufoy, he ends up getting punished from his own body. Like it says in the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem when he wanted to send them to the Jewish people to tell them, I'm going to take them out of Egypt. V'hein lo yaminu li b'grim. I said, why are you sending me? They're not going to believe me anyway. But it was revealed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Jewish people will believe. Amaloi, so Hashem said to him, Heid ma'aminu b'nei ma'aminu. They are believers, the son of believers. V'ato ein tzayif v'lamin. And the irony is that you're ultimately, you won't believe. And you're telling me that they're not going to believe? They are believers, like it says in the Pasuk, it says at a later point in time that the nation believed. We see that they are believers. And they are the sons of believers, as it says regarding Avram Avinu, their forefathers, that he believed in Hashem. So what are you telling me they're not going to believe there? B'nei Mamin. Ato, ain't slave chalamin, you ultimately, even you're not going to believe. Shanem, like it says in the Pasuk, Yan lo yamente bivagayma, that because you didn't believe in me, which is the story by the Maimariva, that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock instead of talking to the rock, that's why he was punished and he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So you see that don't tell me they're not believers. They are believers, and the irony is you're not a believer. So Mimai Deloka, from where do we see that he was punished in his body, which is the concept that he was Cheshavik Shem, he suspected the innocent by giving, stating a claim against them that wasn't true. The Chesed, like it says, a pasuk in Shemais, Vayema Hashem Le, Hashem said to Moshe about the signs that he should show when he goes into the court of Paroi to show that he's really a messenger from Hashem, and when he comes to show the Jewish people, that also put your hands into your bosom, into your by your chest, put it into your shirt, and the pasuk over there ends, that it says, and that he took it out, that his hand was afflicted with leprosy like snow. And that's the idea that it says that he was like a begufa, that he was punished in his own body, although this was one of the signs, but the fact that it had to come through such a medium is to show that because it was Chesavik Shem, Hashem was sending him a message that you're like a begufa, you're going to get punished from your own body. So now the Gemara explains some of the psukim over there, where it's talking about the signs that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to do when he met him at the Sneh regarding taking out the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. So Amar Rava v'item, and some say Rabbi Yisrael b'chanina, midat teiva m'maharis lovim m'midas paranias. A good measurement is quicker to come than a bad measurement. In other words, when Hashem does something good, it's quicker to come than when he has to do something bad. The ilu b'midas paranias k'sev, because regarding a punishment, it says, the pasuk that we just mentioned, that when he took his hand out, and behold, his hand was afflicted with leprosy like snow. And it's only that after he took it out, then it became full of leprosy. However, regarding a good measurement, it says, where it says over there, that he took it out from his chest, from his bosom, and behold, that it was returned already as his flesh, that the tzaras was taken away when he put his hand back in after it was already tzaras. So the understanding is, that was already from when it was in his chest area, his bosom, that it was already returned to flesh. That's where we say that the midat teiva, the good measurement, it says that it wasn't only when he took it out and then it returned back to flesh. When it was already there, it was already returned. And when he took it out, he saw that when it was there, it was already returned. So you see that tzaras, the bad measurement, only came when it was out. But the good, that it returned to flesh, was already when it was inside, even before he took his hand out. Other psukim over there in that inyan, when Moshe and Aaron were sent to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, that they came to the court of power, it says, "Vayivla mata Aaron es matasim," that the stick of Aaron swallowed the sticks of all the mechashvim, all the sorcerers that lived by the court of power. So, Amar Belaza nes b'teich nes. What happened was, it was a miracle within a miracle. That is, on the simple pshat, it sounds like that both his stick turned into a snake and their sticks turned into snakes. However, his snake ate up their snakes, but that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, "Vayivla mati Aaron es matasim." That is, after it turned into a snake, it turned back into a stick, and then as a stick, it went and swallowed up their snakes. That is a miracle within a miracle. Not only did his snake, so to speak, eat up their snakes, but it was already a stick when it ate it up. That's a miracle within a miracle, to show that it was Hashem sending them. Now we return to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if someone throws Mishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, and V'chulu, and there's a Rishus Ram in the middle, there we have a Machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan, if one is going to be Chayiv or one is going to be Patim. Because ultimately it went from one Rishus to the same type of Rishus and only passed through another one. There is a Machlekes, and the Gemara is going to explain what is the Machlekes. Rabba asked the following question in his understanding of the Machlekes. Is it Lamata Masar Pliga? Are they arguing regarding when it went within the airspace of Tent Fochem from the ground, which is generally the airspace of Rishus Haram, and above that is not Rishus Haram. That would be a Makom Turis. So is it that it went as he threw it from one Rishus HaYachad to another Rishus HaYachad within the airspace of Rishus Haram that's within Tent Fochem or Behol Pliga? And this is what they were arguing about. The Maaser of the Rebbe Kiva held, Amrina Klut de Kamosha Hunchad, that we say that something that's contained in an airspace is as if it was at rest in that area. And therefore, Reb Kiva holds, you're going to be liable because we view it as if it came to rest from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus Ram, and then it went to Rishus Ram to Rishus HaYachid, so it rested there because it was within the airspace. That's the concept of Kluta Kamusha Honchadami. That's what Reb Kiva says, you're going to be Chayiv. We don't say this concept that because it's contained in the airspace as if it was coming to rest in it, and if you're going to be part of it, because it never had a akira or hanocha in Rishus Ram, it went from one Rishus Yachad to another Rishus Yachad, that's where you're going to be part of. However, that is the machlokes. But what would come out is that, but if it went above Tent Fachim, as was passing through Rishus Haram, then according to everybody, you're going to be Pater, because there you don't have the concept of Kalit. It was never contained in the airspace of Rishus Haram, because it was above Tent Fachim. That's not the airspace of Rishus Haram. And the idea is that why would they all say that you're potter if it's above 10 tefachim? V'lo yalfin in zarek b'moshe is that we don't learn out the concept of throwing from passing by. And that is by regarding the avoid of the Levium, they part of their work required carrying above 10 tefachim from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah with Rosh Hashanah in the middle. And therefore, we don't learn out Zrika, which is throwing from Hoshata, from passing. Although passing higher than 10 tefachim, we had learned in the previous Mishnah that then there you are going to be Chayiv. However, here where it's throwing, we don't learn out throwing from passing, and therefore, since it's not contained in the airspace, and we don't learn up from the idea that although Levim did higher than 10 tefachim, that was by passing, but throwing not. And therefore, the end of the Mishnah, which says, Hazarik Potter, Vahamoishit Chayiv, that the one that throws higher than 10 tefachim is going to be exempt, and the one that passes is going to be liable, that would be going according to everybody, because everybody holds that Zrika higher than 10 tefachim is going to be Potter. Is that the understanding of the Machlekes of Kivin Rabban? Is what Rab is asking? Or Dilmor, maybe, Lamai Lamasar Plegi. Really, they're arguing when it's higher than 10 tefachim. And because of that, this is the machlekes that Rabbanu say that you're potter, because there's no airspace of Rosh Hashanah, because it's higher than 10 tefachim. And also, they don't learn out Zarek from Moshe, throwing from passing. And Rabbi Kiva holds that you do learn. And therefore, the end of our Mishnah, which says that Zarek Lamala Mayud is going to be potter, that would be going according to Rabbanu, and Rabbi Kiva will hold that you are liable. As the Gemara says, of Hopli, again, this is what they're arguing about. As we said, the Rebbe Kiva holds that you learn up throwing from passing, just like passing, we say the Levim would pass higher than 10 tefachim, one to the other. So too, throwing could be learned out from there, and that would therefore would be Asar and Shabbos. Whereas the Rabban hold that you don't learn up Zarek from Meshed, and although that we know that passing higher than 10 tefachim from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah with Rosh Hashanah in the middle would be Chayiv, but throwing not, because that we don't find by the Avoid the Levim. Is that the understanding of their machlokes that we're talking about higher than 10 tefachim? Av lamata miyud divyak kol chayv, but that if it was lower than 10 tefachim, as it passed from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, in its journey, as it was being thrown in the pass within the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, then there everyone will hold that you are chayv. And my time, a clue to commission on chadami. And that is because even the Rabbanah, everyone would agree to the concept that when it's contained in an airspace, as if it was landed there, and that's why you're chayiv, because it was landed, so to speak, in this understanding of Kluta in the domain of Rosh Hashanah when it's within 10 tefachim. What is the machlekes? Is it within 10 tefachim or above 10 tefachim? So Amar Rav Yosef, ha milsa boiler Rav Chisda. This was a question that Rav Chisda had asked. Upashta nahalei Rav Amnuna maha, and Rav Amnuna answered this question from the following braisa. It says, if someone took something from the private domain to another private domain, with the public domain passing, it passed through the public domain in the middle. So then, Rabbi Kiva mechayev, Acham poitin, Rabbi Kiva holds that you're liable, and Acham holds that you're potter. So therefore, he resolves the question as follows. From the fact that it says that when it went from the Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, this is the way the Bryce is explaining it, that it says it passed Rishus Rabim Atzma through the actual Rishus Rabim, Pshit Lamata Masar Pligi. Obviously, we're talking about that it went below 10 tefachim, because it above 10 tefachim, it's not Rishus Rabim Atzma, because even the airspace stops above 10 tefachim. So, it's saying we passed through the actual Rishus Rabim, obviously, it was below 10 tefachim. Ubamai. And in what case are they talking about? That we're saying it went from one domain to another domain with Rishus Rabim in the middle. If we're talking about that one had carried it from Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, passing through the Rosh Hashanah, then would it make sense to say, as we're proving that we're talking about within 10 tefachim, because it says Rosh Hashanah Atzma, that Rebbe Kiva would hold one as liable for taking it from Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah only if he passed through 10 tefachim, but higher than 10 tefachim, you wouldn't be chayiv? But that can't be. Vam Rebbe Lazam, Rebbe Lazar says in Perek HaMetzniyah, Hamoitzi Masu Lamala Masar Chayv, as we had mentioned before, that if someone carries something, a load, higher than 10 tefachim, he's going to be liable. Shekin Masu B'nei Kaz, because that is actually one of the avodas that was done in the Mishkan by the B'nei Kaz, that they carried the Aron higher than 10 tefachim. And therefore, we see that if someone carries something higher than 10 tefachim, through Rosh Hashanah, he is going to be liable from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, how do we understand this case? If we're saying that it's talking about lower than 10 tefachim, it can't be talking about that it's carrying, because carrying would be not only liable lower than 10 tefachim, it would be liable even higher than 10 tefachim, as we learn from the B'nai Kas. Obviously, this case that the Brice is elucidating must be talking about a case of throwing. And that is, the Brice is talking about the same exact case of our Mishnah. And the Brice says that it passed through the Rishus Rabim Atzma itself. And only there is where Rebbe Kiva holds that you're liable. And why would that be, that Rebbe Kiva holds you're only liable if you throw from one Rishus Yachat to another Rishus Yachat with the Rishus Rabim in the middle? Because of the concept of Klut to Kamisha Uncha, that it's contained in the airspace of Rishus Rabim, as the Gemara says. That it's only below 10 tefachim, as we just proved, it's not to my carrying, but rather throwing, only within 10 tefachim that you're liable. And that above 10 tefachim you would not be liable. Obviously, there are machlekes regarding the concept. If something is contained in the airspace, which is below 10 tefachim, it's as if it landed there. And as Rebbe Kiva holds that yes, and therefore you're chayv, and the Rabbanan hold that no. However, above 10 tefachim, there everyone would agree regarding this machlekes, so Rebbe Kiva and the Rabbanan, that you do not learn out zayrig from moshed, throwing from passing. And therefore, the end of our mission would be, according to everybody, that it's only when you're passing higher than 10 tefachim that you're going to be liable, but throwing, according to everybody, is going to be put. So now the Gemara says that this interpretation of Rav Amnuna will plead the Rebbe Loza. This argues on the way Rebbe Loza explains the Machlekes. The Amr Rebbe Loza, Machayev HaRebbe Kiva, Afila Ma'ilam Yod, because the Rebbe Loza explains that this, that Rebbe Kiva held that you're liable from passing it, throwing it from one Rosh Hashiachat to another Rosh Hashiachat, passing through Rosh Hashiachat in the middle, is even above 10 Tefachim, and that is because he learns that Rebbe Kiva is explaining that you do learn Zarek from Moshet, that just like when you pass something higher than 10 Tefachim, that you're liable, so too throwing, you're going to be liable. Although it seems that the Brice is saying that it's only when it's within 10 tefachim, as it says the terminology atzma, that it passed through the actual Rishus Rabim, which only maxes out at 10 tefachim. That is, that's only to teach you the strength of the opinion of the Rabbanan, that they say that you're pater, that you're going to be exempt, even within 10 tefachim. Because they argue, even on the concept of klut kamisha huncha. But Rebbe Kiva, the hold your chayv, is not only within 10 tefachim, he's going to hold you liable even above 10 tefachim. And that is because, again, like he says, that you learn Abzarik from Moshe. However, the Gemara does say that this interpretation of Rebbe Elazar, Uplig the Rav Chilki Bar Tovi, that not only does Rav Amnuna argue in Rebbe Elazar, but his interpretation of Rebbe Elazar also argues in Rav Chilki Bar Tovi. The Amr Rav Chilki Bar Tovi, he says it as follows. He organizes all the different measurements. Toich Shloish Devei Hakol Chayev, within three tefachim, everybody holds that you're going to be liable. And that is because even if it didn't land, they agree that it has the halachic status as if it did land. And therefore, if it's passing through from one Rosh Hashiachat to another Rosh Hashiachat, through Rosh Hashiachat, but mamish, below three tefachim, then you're going to be chayav. And that's the concept we always say of loved, of that we see it as if it's connected. Lamala masar, the Be'akal pater, but when above 10 tefachim, there everyone's going to behold that you're pater. And that is where we say that he argues on the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, that even Rebbe Kiva will say that you don't learn Zayrik from Meshit. You don't learn, say that just like you're chayav for passing, you're chayav for throwing, and therefore you're going to be pater above 10 tefachim. But in between Megimel Vayud, Banu LaMachlekes Rebbe Kiva Rabbanan, between 3 and 10 tefachim, that is where we have the Machlekes of Rebbe Kiva and Rabbanan. And that is in the concept of Klut Kamisha Huncha Dami. If you say that if something is contained within the airspace, is it as if it landed in that area? So the Gemara backs this up with a Braisa, Tanya Mahachi, similar in the Braisa. But Gimel de Rakol Chayev, within 3 tefachim, everyone holds even the Rabbanan that you're going to be liable, it's as if it landed there. Lamal Yud, En Elam Mishmashwas. Above 10 tefachim, the most that you're going to be liable for is the Issad Rabbanan. When you throw from one domain, one private domain, one Rosh Hashiachat, to your friend's Rosh Hashiachat, it's not even for the concept of because there's a Rosh Hashiachat in the middle. Rather, it would be even if it's side by side. But the idea is until you have an Eruv, an Eruv Echateris, that's an Issad Rabbanan of passing from one Rosh Hashiachat to another Rosh Hashiachat. However, if these two Rosh Hashiachats were his, then it's going to be mutter, because that's even like a Tchilah. Then that's even, if it's passing, the Rosh Hashiachat, it doesn't need to have the any Eruv, because it's owned by one owner. And within the middle shear between 3 and 10 tefachim, that is where we have the Machlekes Rebbe Kiva and the Rabbanan. Again, exactly as we said, those who argue under Belaza that it's within 3 to 9 tefachim, and 10 tefachim is where the Machlekes is, but above, everyone agrees you're not going to learn Abzarik from Moshe. So now the Gemara goes back to a statement we said before. Omama. We said before, we just said that if both private domains were his, then it's going to be mutter. You could pass it from one to the other. On that, the Gemara asks, this should refute the opinion of Rav. And as we learned somewhere else, if you have two houses on two sides of the Rishus Ram of the public domain, So Rav Bar Rav Huna Amar Rav, this is the opinion of Rav, that says, Asa Lizig Mezel is a not allowed to throw from one Rishas Yachad to another Rishas Yachad, even though it's owned by the same person. Ushmul Amar Mutal Lizig Mezel is a. But Shmuel says you're allowed to throw from one Rishas Yachad to another. So this that Rav says that you're not allowed to throw from one to another is obviously, we're talking about even when they're his own house. Because if it's his to his friend's house, so Shmuel would never have said that that's mutter. So obviously from the fact that there's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, that Shmuel says you're allowed to, obviously we're talking about the same person's house, because Shmuel agrees to the concept of Rav Chatzeres. So we're talking about it's both the same houses. And still Rav says that you're not allowed to throw it from one to the other. But it seems to be refuted from what we just said, that we said if it is his own private domains, both are his own Rishus HaYachids, that you're allowed to pass it. How can Rav say that it's awesome? And that the Gemara says that no. The machlokes between Rav and Shmuel was talking about a different situation, and that is why Rav said over there was awesome. As the Gemara says, "Belav mi ukimna lahi." Didn't we establish that machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in Masechtas Eirvin, where Rav says that it's aser, is kagun demidlichad umitzichad, that one of the houses was higher and one of the houses was lower, and because of that, you have to get your hand in such a position that you can get it from the higher to the lower, or from the lower to the higher, which is very difficult, challenging to be able to throw it exactly at that angle. And therefore the Gemara says, the Zimna Nafal Vasilatuya, that sometimes it might actually fall into the Rishas Rav, and you might come to carry it and pick it up and bring it into the Rishas Yachid. And that is maybe you're not gonna be able to throw it onto the roof. It's going to fall into the Rishas Rav, and you might come to carry it. And the idea why it says that the liability is going to be because now you might carry it from the Rishas Rav to the Rishas Yachid, and it doesn't just say because now you threw it from the Rishas Yachid into the Rishas Rav, is because there they won't be a Chiyuv Chatzis, because that's what's called misasik. You were distracted regarding that Hoitzah because that wasn't your intent. You didn't intend to throw it from Rishas HaYachid to Rishas Rav. You want to throw it from your one house to the other house across the avenue. And that is what we're saying, that if it falls in the middle, then because since it's on this weird angle, either top to bottom or bottom to top, that you might come to pick it up and carry it to Rishas HaYachid, that's why it's awesome. But Rav will agree to the concept, which it says over here, if they're both his own Rishas HaYachids and they're evil level, then of course it's going to be mutter. There's no Isser because there's no problem of Rishas Rav, because it's not passing through, there's no problem of Kulta Kamisha Hanchadomi, and we don't learn Abzarik from Meishit. And the idea is that it's not going to be Asr because of those concepts, and there's no problem of passing from one Rishas Yachad to another Rishas Yachad because you don't need a Rishas Yachad, they're both owned by the same person. So now regarding this concept that we had mentioned before, that when it's within three Tvachim, we say that that's the concept of Lava, that we see it connected, and that's why there were those Amiram that said that if it goes within three Tvachim of the airspace of Rishas Ram, everyone, even the Rabban, is going to agree as if it landed in Rishas Ram. Amalei Rav Chizda Rav Amnuna, and some say the reverse. Amalei Rav Amnuna Rav Chizda, Benoha Milstadam Rabban. Where did the Rabban know this concept? That Kol Pachis Megimel Kol Avdami, that whatever is lower than three Tvachim, it's as if it's what's called an extension. That the Rishus is, if it's not higher than three Tvachim, that it's bottled to the Rishus Rabban, and therefore we'll view it as an extension of Rishus Rabban. So Amalei, so he said to him, it's a svar, it's simple logic. It's impossible to plane a public domain with different instruments to smooth it out from the rocks and the stones, to say as if it was planed out that you made it completely smooth. And therefore, we're going to see any bump, any part of Rishas Ram that sticks out three tefachim as if it's part of the Rishas Ram, because the world is not perfectly flat. On that, the Gemara asks, "I hachi gimonami." If that's the svara, if that's the logic, then even three tefachim itself should also be considered part of the Rishas Ram. Why only less than three tefachim? Even three tefachim, there's many bumps on the street or on the ground, especially before the times of the paved roads, and therefore even that should be considered an extension of Lovet of the Rishas Ram. Another question is, "Vesu haditnan." This that we learned in the Mishnah, "Hamishalshal defonis milmal lamat." If someone is lowering the walls, meaning as he's making it, he's going from top to bottom. That is, he's weaving the walls of the sukkah from the top and he's coming down to the bottom. So then the halacha is, "Imhein gevoyin min ha'aretz shloisha tefachim psula." If, as you made the walls, you stop higher than three tefachim from the ground, then the walls are going to be possible. We don't view them as kosher walls for the sukkah. Hapachis magim l'ksher, but less than three tefachim, then it's going to be kosher. If it didn't come down exactly, sometimes you make the sukkah walls and one wall doesn't come all the way down to the bottom, then it's going to be kosher, because that's the concept of lavud. As if we see it as if it totally got connected down to the ground, And the question is, here you don't have the reason of the svar that we said regarding Rosh Hashanah because we can't smooth it, plane it, and therefore we see it as an extension of the ground. Here, what does that do? We're talking about walls, creating walls as if the wall goes down to the bottom. That has nothing to do with the idea that the world, the earth, is not perfectly flat. Why there do we say the concept of love it? So the Hasam Hain the time of Mishum Dahavila Mechitza Shagadom Boikimbris. It says, they're the reason why the wall will be puzzled if it's higher than 3 tefachim from the ground, is because that's a type of a partition that the goats can penetrate and get their way through. However, less than 3 tefachim, where the gedoyim, the goats, cannot break through. And therefore we see it as if it's a complete wall, but also not with perfection. The goats cannot get through. And therefore we see it as something that blocks things from outside to inside, so that we view as a wall. So therefore that will be kosher for the wall of a sukkah. That's the same idea of love it. But then the Gemara continues to ask, that's very good, we understand. When there's a break in the wall on the bottom, if it's less than 3 tefachim, the goats can't get through, we see it as if it's totally blocked. However, the question is, lamala ma'iklamema, what are you going to say about above, towards the top of the wall? Where you say, love it on a higher area. As many places in Shas where we talk about it, for example, in Masechtas Erevin, where they say regarding making walls, that if you surround the walls, you make a poles going up and you surround it within every 3 tefachim, you make a rope going around it, and then again higher up, you can make a wall of 10 tefachim if you make ropes within 3 tefachim of each other. And for example, we know regarding the halachas of schach, if the schach is within 3 tefachim from the wall, so then it's going to be kosher, but more than 3 tefachim from the wall on top, it's not going to be kosher. What's the understanding over there? There's no idea of the ground's not perfectly flat, and therefore within 3 we view it as an extension. Also, it's not a svar of a wall on the bottom where the goats can't get in, so therefore we view it as an extension as if it's a complete wall. How are you going to say over here, what does the schach have to do within 3 tefachim of the roof? Or regarding making walls within 3 tefachim, that has nothing to do with goats or anything like that. So what's the understanding over there of love it that we view it as an extension? So David the Gemara says, you're right, it's not a svar. Rather, it's halacha mesh b'sin. It's a tradition we have that anything within that's less than 3 tefachim, we view it as an extension of the other area, and that's why we're going to see it as closed, but not because it's a svar. Tarabon. So we learned in the Braisa, similar to the halacha that was said in our Mishnah, which our Mishnah said regarding that you threw from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, passing through Rosh Hashanah. Now we say a reverse type of a case. We learned in the Braisa, Mishus HaRabim L'Shus HaRabim V'Shus HaYachad B'Amtzah. If you threw from one public domain to another domain, passing through a Rishus HaYachad in the middle, there we have Machlikis Rebbe Mechayev Acham Paitin. Remember, he holds that you're going to be liable for Haitzah. Nacham said you're going to be pot. So the Gemara explains, Rav Shmuel Damit Havaya, they both say, Loi Chayev Rebbe El Rishus HaYachad Mekori. This Rebbe said you're going to be liable. It was only talking about a roofed Rishus HaYachad. That is, it passed through, and it has a roof over that private domain. And the svar of that, to say that if the Rosh Hashanah was covered, that there you would be liable, is because the Aminan basic command of Mali Dameh is that's because we see the house as if it's totally filled up, because it's dark and it's full of a different air, the climate is different over there, we see it as if it landed in there, and that's why it's going to be chayv. But if it wasn't roofed in and passed through Rosh Hashanah, an open field, an open area, there, the Gemara says, if it's not roofed, there you're not going to be liable. As if for example, if it was a chatzah, if it was an open courtyard, there Rebbe would agree to Rabbanan that you're not liable if it went from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah. Another Hagdar, another qualification of this machlek is Amrav Chanam Rabbi Huda Meshmul, Mechayv Hoyer Rebbe Shtayim. This time we said Rebbe holds that you're liable, is that you'd be liable for 2 malachas of Shabbos. One for taking it out from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, and one for the achnasa of bringing it in from the Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah. And that's the same idea that we were mentioning before, that is, we see it as if it landed inside the roofed house, and therefore when it goes out, that's a new malacha, one being achnasa, one being itza. And that the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Chana v'kukashle. Rav Chana was sitting, and he had this question on this teaching that his Rebbe has taught him. And we continue on to Amud Beis. Is this to say that Rebbe holds that you're liable for doing a talada, which is hachnasa, bringing something in from the Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, is a derivative from the av malacha, the primary malacha of haitzah, which is transporting, taking out from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah? Is that true? Because you're saying now, in this opinion of Rebbe, that you're going to be liable for 2, one for taking and one for taking out. And this is in the same action, this same lapse of awareness, that you're being mechayev the toilada b'makam av, even as they're at the same time, you'll be liable for both. Is that the case? But by the time you learn the braisa, Rebbe Omer, Dvarim Hadavarim Ela Hadavarim. It says in the Pasuk in Shmois that Moshe gathered the Klal Yisrael and he told them regarding the halachos of Shabbos, Ela Hadavarim, these are the things that Hashem had commanded to do them. And this is a pasuk in Vayakal where it says regarding Shabbos, Eila hadvarim ashativa begaimer. So the word devarim, that these are the things, that's plural. It doesn't say davar. These are the things, that's two. Hadvarim, the hey, adds on another one. That's three. Now you have Eila. Eila hadvarim. Eila is begamatria of 36. So 36 plus 2 plus 1 is 39. Those are the 39 malachas of Shabbos. That's how we know that there are 39 malachas of Shabbos. So, as the Gemara says, these are the 39 malachas that were said to Moshe at Sinai. So the question is, why do we have to say a number? Obviously, the reason why we're saying that there's 39, we're saying Devarim is 2, Hadavarim makes it 3, and Eila is 36 plus 3 is 39. Why do we have to know the numbers? To know how many carbon chatas a person could be liable if he does it in one lapse of awareness on Shabbos. The question is, if you're going to be Mechayiv, if Rebbe holds that you're liable for doing a toilada derivative, even at the same time when you're doing the Av in the same lapse of awareness, so then there's more than 39 chatos you could be liable on Shabbos. You could be liable for much more, because although there's 39 primary categories of Isuri Shabbos, that there are much more toiladas. And therefore, why is he saying an amount of 39 to learn that from the Torah? Why do we care about a number? You could even be liable for many more carbon chatos. So this is the contradiction that they're posing. So Amalei Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef said to Rav Chisda, Mar aho masnila, that you learned that the opinion of Rabbi Huda Meshmul, that Mechayiv Hoy Rabbi Shtaim, the Rabbi held you reliable on this statement of Rabbi. And therefore, Vakashulei the Rabbi at the Rabbi. And therefore, you have this contradiction of Rabbi on Rabbi. That is because, on the one hand, he seems to be saying that you cannot be Mechayiv on the Tolodah in place when there's an Av. That's why you learn Eilah Hadavarim to tell you if there's 39 Av Melachas. That's the max you could be Chayiv for the Karmach HaToyis and Shabbos, because you won't have many more because of Teilodis, because if you do the Av, you're not going to have a Teilodah B'makom Av. And on the other hand, we said, on Amen Aleph, that if you're going to throw from a Shos Ram to another Shos Ram, passing through a Shos HaYachid, you're going to be liable for two Hachnos Neitzah, which is a Teilodah and an Av. But with that, Rabbi Yosef continues, and he says that that's not what Rabbi Yehuda was saying on. We have the tradition that the Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul was saying his statement in Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we don't have this contradiction, we don't have this problem. Because we don't find anywhere that Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be potter to lod b'makom av. And that's why this that it says that you're going to be chayiv for hachnosa and aitzah, when you throw from a shos rabim to another shos rabim, passing through a shos yachid, that's a tolod and av. That was going Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi, and therefore we don't have this contradiction. Because although we have that Rabbi seems to be saying that from Eilat Vam that you can't be chayiv to lod b'makom av, Rabbi Yehuda does not agree to that. The Tanya has learned in the Braisa. If someone throws from a shos yachid to a shos rabim, va'ava arba amis b'shos rabim, someone throws from a private domain to a public domain, and as it passes into the public domain, it passes through, it travels four amas in the Rishas Rab. That is before it lands, so therefore you really have two Isuri Shabbos. You have Haitzah, that you transported, you took something out from Rishas Rab to Rishas Rab, and you have the Isur of Zrika Arba Amas, of throwing something four amas in Rishas Rab. On that, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, Vacham Poyim. Rabbi Yehuda says you're liable, and Vacham say that you're Patah. So now the Gemara explains, what does it mean Rabbi Yehuda says you're Chayev, and Vacham say that you're Patah? Am Rabbi Yehuda, Am Shmuel. And this is Am Rabbi Yehuda that he says in the name of Shmuel. Mechayev hoye Rabbi Shtayim, the Rabbi held that you're going to be liable for two. Achas mishmaitzav, achas mishmavar. And this is what he said, that you're going to be liable for two, is one for Hitzav, one for taking it out from Shasarach to Shasarab, and one for Havara, for carrying it four Amas and Shasarab. That is a toilada b'mokim av, that we see the Yehuda holds that you are liable for having a toilada, even though that's av, because passing something for amas and shos rabim is a toilada derivative from the av malacha of taking it out from shos rach to shos rabim. However, the Rabban hold that you're going to be potter on passing it for amas and shos rabim, because they don't hold to the concept of klutu kemish honcha, that when it's contained in the airspace, is as if it landed, to say that once it came out of the opening of Rishas Harayah Yochet into Rishas Ram, as if it landed there, and then almost as if it got up, it was picked up again, and then it landed at the end of four Amos. However, they hold that you're going to be Chayim for Itzah, but not that you're going to be Chayim for Itzah and Avah. But Rabbi Yehuda holds no, that you're going to be Chayim for Itzah, that we see it as it came out of the door of Rishas Yochet Rishas Ram, we view it as if it landed in there, klutu kemish honcha, when it's contained as if it landed, and then it went four Amos. That's another Issah, that's a Telah de B'makam Av. And he proves this, that this is the Machlekes of Yehuda and the Chacham, that it's regarding if you chayiv for two or only one. But everyone holds you chayiv something. Because if you think that Yehuda holds in this case, when you're throwing it from Rishas Yochet to Rishas Ram, and it passes for Amos and Rishas Ram, that you're only going to be liable for one Isra of Haitzah, so that would mean, the Rabban hold that you're completely exempt. How could that be? Even according to Rabbanan, that you don't say klutik kemishahanche, but you're obviously taking it out from the private domain to the public domain. So if you're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda says you're only liable for one, and the Rabbanan is saying you're potter, obviously even on one you're potter, but how you're potter netzah? Obviously that they have to agree that at least for that you're going to be chayv. So that the Gemara responds, mimai. Although it seems like a very good proof that Rabbi Yehuda obviously is making you liable for two, hachnasa and hoitzah, and that's why we see a proof that he's going to be mechayev you to lada b'mokim ha'av, because the Rabbanan say you're patra, obviously they can't be saying you're patra legamri, because obviously at least hoitzah you're going to do, and the thing says no. Maybe I'm going to tell you that Rabbi Yehuda that says you're liable is only that you're liable for one, not for both hoitzah and favor. Rabbanan part legamri and Rabbanan hold you actually are exempt totally. And the question is, how do you find such a case that you're going to be exempt? At least hoitzah, at least you're doing a transferring from the Rishas HaYach to the Rishas HaRabim. And then the Gemara says, going to as if it's talking about a case where the one who threw it said, I only want it to be going out if it rests immediately when it comes into the Rishas HaRabim. And this is what they're arguing regarding such a case, where the one who throws it out says, I want it to land right when it comes out. The machlekes is Rabbi Yehuda savor amrin klutik kemishahoncha. Rabbi Yehuda holds the concept of that something that's contained in the airspace as if it landed over there, and therefore b'savida lemechshav. Therefore, his thought, his intent was fulfilled. With although it didn't land right when it came into the Rishas HaRabim, it is as halachically as if it actually did land right when it came into the Rishas HaRabim, because the concept of klutik kemishahoncha says we view it right when it comes into the airspace as if it landed in there, and therefore you chayv hoitza. But because of Avara, for transporting a pharmacist and Shas Rabbim, you're not going to be chayiv. And that is although that we're considering it as if it landed, and therefore it should be considered that if it got picked up again from right when it came out in the Shas Rabbim to four amos later, and then it was put down over there, so why are you only liable for one? Is because that's the concept of the Toilah de B'makam Av, and it's to the contrary. Rabbi Yehuda holds in that Toilah de B'makam Av, you're not going to be chayiv. And you only chayiv for one, that's the chayiv of Hoitzah. Although he said I want it to be right when it comes out, and it didn't land right when it came out, it landed four amos away, but because halachically we view it kalutik mishahanchi, we view it as if it actually did land right when it came out. And although now it's going another four amos, and that's a telada, that's havar, you should be liable for both, but no, we're not mechayiv a telada, but makam av, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that we don't mechayiv a derivative when you're also doing the primary melacha. And however, the Rabban do not agree to the halacha concept of when something contained in the airspace if it landed, and therefore his intent was never fulfilled because he wanted it to land right when it came out. It didn't land, it landed four amas further, and therefore he didn't even do haitzah, because haitzah was his intent, was to do it right when it came out, and it didn't go there, and therefore that's not considered a malachas machshav b'shebichayev for even the malacha of haitzah. What comes out from this discussion is, from what we're proving is that avalai telod de b'makam av lemechayv Rabbi Yehuda. However, there's no proof to what you wanted to say that Rabbi Yehuda that he's going to say you're going to be liable for two, and obviously that's hachnos neitzah, which is telod and av. Because if it's one that is chayv, the Rabbanan say that you're potter, you're going to be totally exempt. And say yes, it's a tomar case that you're totally exempt when you wanted it to only land right when it comes out, and it didn't, and therefore according to Rabbanan you're totally exempt. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're going to be chayv because he holds of kalutik mishantche. But what we see is that there is no proof. Really, maybe in concept he holds that you're not going to be chayv telod b'makam av. And that the Gemara says loisa gadaydach. You can't entertain such an opinion to say that Rabbi Yehuda holds you're not going to be chayv telada when there's the same apostle. Because I'll bring you a different proof. The time we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda adds on to the 39 malachas that there are. He adds on another two. And that's why he's counting them. To tell you that if you do it in one lapse of awareness, one helem, that you're going to be liable for each one separately. What are the two that he adds on? He adds af ha-shoivit v'amadaktik. Also the malachas of lining up the warp thread with a rod. And medaktik is beating the weft thread. And that is the shoivit is a malacha that they used to use a pointy stick to separate the different warp threads. And then medaktik, this two pshat marashi, either it means that after there was pulled very tightly the weft threads, so then they would hit it with this karkar, with this stick, this pointy stick, in two or three different places to loosen it up. Or some say the medaktik was straightening out the weaving, that there is sometimes between two threads they get stuck, they get tangled one in the other to separate it from the other ones, so they would even it out with the stick or with a needle. Those are the two that he adds on, what's called shavit, which is again lining up the warp thread, and with this rod, and or medaktik that's beating the weft. So Amr Loi, so the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, shavit hari b'chol mesach. This malacha of lining up the warp threads with the rod, that's included in the malacha deiraisa, the av malacha of mounting the warp onto that, onto the loom where it is. And medaktik harei b'chalal oirik, and this beating the weft is included in the actual av malacha of weaving. And therefore, these are toladas. How can you add them onto the 39 av malachas when they're included? They're a toladah of these two different malachas. Shebet is included in Mesach, and medaktik is included in oirik. So the Gemara concludes from this discussion, from this brisa, that my love David Abdina Latavaya, but how they did it. Obviously, the discussion that the machlik is that they were discussing, Yehuda and Rabban, was when you're doing both of them together. That is, you're doing Shevet and Medaktik together with the other 39 malachas. And that's what it says, that Rabbi Yehuda was Maisif, that obviously was Maisif on that if you do with Mesach and Eirig and all the other malachas, you do also these two Teladas, which are Shevet that we see is included in Mesach, and the medaktik, which is included in Eirig, that you're still going to be liable for them also. So obviously from that you see, so obviously Yehuda holds that you are chayiv for a derivative, even at the same time when you're doing the av malacha. And therefore that's a clear-cut proof that Yehuda is mechayiv, a tolad b'makom av, and that was according to what we said originally. That's why there's no contradiction to be chayiv when you're throwing from Rishas Ram to Rishas Ram, passing through Rishas Yav in the middle, to be chayiv too. Because although that's haitzan achlas, so you could be chayiv, tolad b'makom av. But another Gemara asked me, "My, how could you even prove from there? Maybe the Braisa that was saying that Yehuda says he's adding on to the 39 Amalachas this Shevet and Medaktik, that you did it separately, you didn't do it together. Because really, if you're doing a Telada together with an Av, you're not going to be Chayav. As we just said, again, this is what they were arguing about. He held that Shevet and Medaktik, he disagrees with the Chum. He holds that they are their own avmalachas. They're not a teilada. They're not a derivative, for example, shevet from Mesach and medaktik from Eirik. Rabban Savi, no, hanu teiladas, no, they're derivatives. And that's what they said. How could you consider that part of the malachas, the raises, if it's a teilada and we're not mechayev a teilada b'makam av, which even you agree. And the Gemara even says, Teidi, you should know that Rabbi Huda really wasn't saying that you chayev a teilada b'makam av, rather that they are avmalachas, that there are 41 av malachas and not 39. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Meisav, because Rabbi Yehuda said the terminology he said was he adds on, and therefore iamit b'shlema avis. If he's saying that he considers them as av malachas, primary categories of isuri shabbos, semai Meisav. What does it mean that he added on Meisav avis? That he added on av malachas, and that is not only the 39. There's 41 eliyamit teiladlis my Meisav. But if you say that derivatives, so what does it mean? He's adding on. They're not counted together with the av malachas. So obviously that it's he wasn't saying that it's you being mechayev tolad b'makom av. Rather, they're their own av malacha. There's 41, not 39 av malachas, and therefore there's no proof to the assumption you wanted to say before that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're not chayev for that you're going to be chayev tolad b'makom av. Because maybe really it's not a tolada; it's its own av malacha. Now the Gemara continues discussing the same idea. The Imarat Nami, we also learned that those who are doicha this opinion that Rabbi Yehuda holds, that they don't agree to the concept that they wanted to prove that Rabbi Yehuda chayev toladim makam av. Rather, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're not going to be chayev, not going to be liable for toladim makam av. And that was the original question we had. That seems to be a contradiction, understanding this opinion of being chayev too from Rishas Rabim to Rishas Rabim, passing through Rishas Yach, which is a tzon achnosa, and also agreeing to the concept of not being chayev for toladim makam av. And that is Rabbi Rav Yosef Adam and Tavaya. They both say, Lo chayev Rabbi Yehuda l'achas, Rabbi Yehuda holds you're only liable for one. And that's the same idea because they hold that you are potter if you're doing a telada b'makom av, that you're not going to be chayev for two. When it goes from Rishas Ram to Rishas Ram, passing through Rishas Yachad, you can't say liable for two. That's Haitzon Hachnasa. And even Rabbi Yehuda agrees you're not liable for a telada Hachnasa b'makom av of Haitza. So Amad Nasa, the Gemara discusses, Amad Ravin L'Ravashi. Well, the Maida Salak Adaitin Mekara, the Mechayev Hayyab Hudushtaim. Now, according to the assumption that we had originally thought, which we subsequently said that really it's only going to be one because you can't have Hitzah and Achnasa at the same time, that's a Telad Makam Av. But originally, what we originally thought, that you'll be Chayev for the Hitzah, for taking it out from Rishas Yachad to the Rishas Rabim and Havara of passing it through four Amas in the Rishas Rabim. So then it is a challenge over here, there's a question. Even though we originally assumed, however, even if you want to say that you could be chayev tolad b'makom av, here there really are no two malachis. And the question is as follows. Ila hocha kabayla, if he wanted it over here, that is, he wanted it to land at the end of four amas, that's where he wanted it to land, so then lahocha kabayla, that means he didn't want it to land over here right when it comes out into Shasarabim. That is, you can't have both, You can't have both, that it should be right when it comes out, to be chai for itza, and for it to have to land after four amis, which would be the malacha of avara. And either way, the problem is that even if he wants it to be after four amis, that's going to be one long haitza. That won't be the malacha of avara. How are you going to have haitza and avara with his intent? We know that it has to be melech machshavas. This is what he had to have in mind. When he threw it, what did he have in mind? That shall land right when it comes out. So then he didn't have a mind for the Havara of 4 Amas. If he had a mind to land after 4 Amas, so that was one long Itza, not a Havara. Either way, you're not going to have a Havara. And moreover, the Gemara says, Ilahochi Kabayla, that if he wanted it to be right when it comes out, that that's where it shall land. So then, Lahochi Kabayla, then he didn't want to land after 4 Amas. And then you're not going to have the Zrika of 4 Amas in Rosh Hashanah. And you won't be Chayva Navara. Because when you originally did that Kira, from you need to have an Akira from the beginning of 4 Amos to the end of 4 Amos in Rosh Hashanah. And then you're not having over here, because you wanted it to land right when it comes out, and it didn't land, it goes after 4 Amos, you can't have a situation you're going to be liable on both the Haitza and Avar. So there, the Gemara is asking, even though we assumed that, okay, fine, you'll be Chayva Telad B'makam Av, but you can't have both the Telad and the Av. You can't have the Av, which is Haitza, taking it out, where do you want it to be taken out to? If right when it comes out. So then when it goes the next 4 Amos, that's not what you intended for it to be. So either way, you're not going to have Havar and Haitza at the same time. And that the Gemara says, no, you could have both. The person had said, whatever it wants, let it land. And since it doesn't bother him, so both of them are a fulfillment of his desire for it to land wherever it may land. And therefore, since in halachic status, we view it as a Haitza, and that is Klutik Kemishah Huncha, qualifies as if it landed right when it came out, and then it continues its journey because it never really actually landed. And then that's a new Akira, so to speak, and Havara of 4 Amos, and then it lands Hanocha. That's why the way the original assumption was that you'll be Chayav to Lad Mokam Am, you could be Chayav and Itzah and Havara, because it is a fulfillment of his will, because he didn't care either way. Now, on this fundamental principle, the Gemara continues and says, Pshita, it's clear. If someone intended, as we said, the person has to intend, and that's the only way it could be a malacha, but if it didn't, it's not going to be a fulfillment of his malacha b'itza. If a person intended to throw 8 amas in Rosh Hashanah, and it only ended up being thrown 4 amas, so then harikosav shem yishim, that's the equivalent of writing the word shame, the name shame, which is shem chaman yafis, from the larger name of Shimon. And we learn in Perek HaBoina, later in Daf Kav Gimel Amud Aleph, that you're liable for writing the two letters of Shin and Mem. And although you intended to do a larger malach of writing the word Shimon, still you're liable for the word shame, because that's also considered a name in the Torah. However, in Niskaven Lizrik Arba V'zorg Shemayin Ma'o, however, although we're saying that if you intended to throw 8 and you only threw 4, that you're going to be chayav, because again, it's still its own 4 is a malacha before avar and shasarabim. So that's the same as wanting to write shimud but writing shame. You wanted to do 8, you did 4. What's the question if it's the reverse? Niskaven lizik arba, you intended to throw it 4 amas, bezorg shmoinim, but it ended up going 8 amas. The question is, mi amrinin ho'apikle, do you say that ultimately he removed it 4 amas from where it was, and therefore, although it went more, it doesn't make a difference, he intended to carry it 4 amas in Shazram, and therefore Yechayv. A dilma, according to the svaris that we had just said before, but where he wanted it to land, it didn't land. And therefore, since it landed 8 instead of 4, you're going to be potter, because that's not where you wanted it to be. Similar to the svar that we just said before, that depending where it's on avar, it doesn't make sense to have both. But on that, the Gemara asks, isn't this exactly what our Gemara just said before? The Ravina said to Ravashi that you have to have a fulfillment from your machshava, and that's why he asked. If you have to have a fulfillment from your machshava, how can you be chayav in tzar navar? And even the Teretz agreed to that concept. And he says, you're right, but where the person had said, wherever it wants to land, let it land. And therefore, the same thing is over here. A person should not be chayiv only if it landed where he wanted his machshava to be. So therefore, both cases, you should be potter. It doesn't make a difference if he intended to throw 8 and landed 4, or if he intended to throw 4 and it landed 8. Either way, you should be potter, because it didn't land where he wanted it to be. And the Gemara addresses, though you said a very good svara that you should be liable when you intend to throw 8 and land at 4, because that's the same as wanting to write a large name Shimon, and it was only the name of shame. So, however, that's not the equivalent of wanting to throw 8 and throwing 4 as the same thing. Because me dummy, is that the same? Hasam, common to like siv shame, le michtav le shimon. As long as you didn't write the name Shem, Shin Mem, you can't write the name Shimon. As you have to write Shin Mem to get to Shimon. So therefore, when you're writing Shin Mem, that was with intent. That is your kavana. You wanted to do that malacha, which is such a name of a person with these two letters. And that's why you chayev, because that's part of your function of writing the whole name Shemin. However, over here, Hacha, Kamad Leizarek Arba, as long as it wasn't thrown 4 Amos and that it landed at the end of 4 Amos, so then, Leimis Darki Le Tamni, is it true that it can't be thrown 8 Amos? In other words, when it lands here after 4 Amos, that wasn't a fulfillment of his machshava. That's not the same as shame from Shimon because it doesn't have to land after 4 Amos. He wants to throw it 8 Amos. If passing through a journey of 8 Amos, although it's passing through an area of 4 Amos, but that wasn't his intent for it to land over here. We didn't want to have anocha. It doesn't have to be to land 4 and then go another 4. It was one journey of 8. And therefore, that's not the same as shame in Shimon. Shimon has to be written shame. And therefore, there it's a fulfillment of what you wanted. Here, to land after 4, it's not a fulfillment. And therefore, you're going to be potter, Zakti Gemar, because here it's not the same as shame in Shimon. It's not true. It's not a fulfillment. And therefore, throwing 4 and landing 8, or throwing 8 and landing 4, will both cases will be potter, because it didn't land where you wanted it to be. And therefore, won't be a Malach Machshebes that the Torah asks.